Hello and welcome. My name is Rita Black and I'm a clinical hypnotherapist and the director of the Shift Weight Mastery Process. And our recording today is a wonderful interview that I want to introduce an amazing person that I had the really amazing fortune to have met a couple of years ago. Amy and I, and her name is Amy Duby. I have never actually met Amy face-to-face, but Amy came to me in an email, and her letter and story was amazing to me. Amy was looking for a different way to lose weight, and I could just tell by the letter that she wrote that she was just an amazing individual who was stuck and struggling and in a lot of pain, but nonetheless an amazing individual. And Amy's journey has been to weight mastery it's been just such a joy to watch and see. So today I have Amy with me, and I want to walk her through her amazing journey of releasing. I'll let her tell you how much she's released, but her amazing journey and how she's not changed just externally, but the amazing story of her internal shift. And just so I'm really clear on the phone call, Amy wrote to me and she did a process, the Shift Weight Mastery process, via the Shift in the Box. So the Shift in the Box is a series of recordings of both coaching and hypnosis that are presented to the participant in a box, but also through a 30-day email-based process. So just so the listeners know how Amy assimilated all the information and the process itself. So welcome, Amy. Thank you so much for being with me today and coming on the phone and taking your time out of your day.
Oh, no problem. Anytime.
So, Amy, I wanted to ask you to just tell me a little bit, and for the people who will be listening to this phone call, just to get an idea of where you were a couple of years ago, because I do believe I got an email from you sometime in July, and we are now speaking in the month of July, but this is 2 years later. Tell me just a little bit about, do you remember that place you were in when you were writing me that wonderful email that you wrote?
Yeah, I was in a very depressing place. It wasn't anywhere that anyone should be in their own mind.
Well, tell us a little bit about what were you struggling. I know that you had weight challenges, but maybe you can share with the listeners what specifically those weight challenges were, and not just weight challenges, but all the other challenges that came with it.
Sure. I pretty much struggled with weight loss. I'll do a small recap. When I was younger, I got asthma, and as a result of all the steroids and things, it kind of made me expand a little more than I would have liked to. And I pretty much just, from that point on, I pretty much just kept steadily gaining weight, and no matter what I tried to do, from anything from other weight loss things, from Jenny Craig to Slim Fast to diet pills, no matter what I tried, it only just put a temporary Band-Aid if it worked at all, and then more weight just came back on. And as for challenges physically, I would say, I was 27 years old being prescribed Lipitor because I had high cholesterol. I also had medication for high blood pressure. My back, I pretty much threw it out. I would say at least once a month it would go out. I was just walking around carrying 343 pounds on my feet and back, and it drained me to just go from one place to another. And a simple task like tying your shoes was, I would pretty much get winded doing that. So it held me back, both physically and emotionally.
Right. And so I'm curious, you know, when you say you went through all these diets, and I know so many people, and that's really at the heart of the weight struggle, isn't it, that we start a diet and then we can maybe go a week or two or get a month under our belt or maybe a couple of days under our belt, and then for whatever reason, the diet ends or we go off the diet, and then there's a part of us that just says, oh, this is too hard, or I can't do it, and we stop believing in ourselves, and we feel like a failure, and then we say, oh, well, forget it, I'll just start again on Monday, and then I'll be good, and I feel like that's that place of stuckness, right? Would you say that's kind of when you were cycling through those diets? And in a way, it sounds like you started gaining weight not from overeating, but just because you were on these steroids, which probably threw your appetite out of balance to a certain degree, and then you found that you were gaining weight, and then you got stuck in that up and down yo-yo diet cycle, huh?
Yeah, it definitely was the whole inner thinking thing that once you would see like maybe 5 pounds you'd lose, which obviously I know now is water weight, and you get excited about that, and then you weigh yourself again, and then you'd gain 8 pounds, you know. It would just throw you off and just make you discouraged, and it always did. It added more weight to me, I found, whenever I would stop on any type of diet, and it was always an internal struggle, and I would always be so hard on myself with that.
Yeah, and I mean, it's so funny because I have so many people, and you and I haven't talked about this, but I do find that it's a common phenomena among a lot of people that, you know, when we're dieting or we're in that diet head, we can lose some weight, and then we get on the scale and we're like, yippee, I've lost weight. I might as well, you know, go and eat and celebrate, and then, you know, we gain some weight back. So there is that perpetual inner voice that beats us up, and then the other one that says, oh, forget it, we'll start again on Monday. So, Amy, I'm curious, I know we had talked about this, and I forget how you heard about the shift weight mastery process, but I'm curious how you heard about it, and how you heard about hypnosis, or have you ever tried hypnosis before you did this process?
Actually, yes. I two little points on that is for me. What I knew about hypnosis was pretty much the cliched thing that you see with the movie with the pocket watch, and you just stare at it, and you go into like a trance, and they say a magic word, you start clucking or something. That's all I knew about it. And then my mom actually took me to a hypnosis seminar here in my hometown like years ago. I want to say in the 90s. And that was an experience in and of itself. And they put you in this dark room, and I was more concerned with somebody stealing my mom's wallet than I was paying attention to any hypnosis. Yeah. And I heard about you off of the internet. You were about I just Googled, there was a news story, and it said everybody's shifting to lose weight on, I forget what channel it was. And for my first job, I get up pretty early, and I was like, I can't wait till 11. So I Googled it, and you were the third link down. And I watched all the testimonies of the people on the video, and I was like, all right. And I saw email contact us, so I contacted you, and I wrote that email. And primarily, I mean, the number one reason I tried to go for the shift is you, because the response that you gave me back wasn't like, hey, you know, buzz off. It was more so, I want to help you any way I can. And that was the thing that drew me into giving this a shot. So I would definitely say it was you on that one.
Oh, well, you're sweet. Well, I was so compelled by you and your story. And I absolutely felt like I knew, and I know you know this, Amy, because I know you've evolved into, you were always a very powerful person, and I knew that about you, but I could see that, as I see in a lot of people, when we get stuck in that place of failure or feeling like we're a failure, that we just beat ourselves up so hard. And the joy I get out of the job or what I do, I don't really see it as a job, but in the work that I do, is that people get to see how amazing they are in this process. You know, they get to really use that, their inner resource, their gifts from within to, you know, become healthier and and a more evolved version of themselves. You know, it's not like you change, but you get to be more of who you are, I think, in shifting, because it just isn't about weight. It is just really about, I always call it that love story down the scale. It's really about really learning to have a powerful relationship with yourself. Tell us a little bit about your 30-day experience, because some people who are listening probably won't have experienced hypnosis before, and they might be like you were, think it's kind of something, this wackadoo woo-woo thing that people from California do, but nobody else in the world does. And because, like I said earlier, the shift process, especially, both shift process, the live one here in Los Angeles, but the one that you got in a box, involves some hypnosis and some coaching. So can you just talk us through, you know, getting the box and starting to listen to it, and what you felt like, what impact the coaching and the hypnosis had for you? I mean, you know, did you find it relaxing? Did you find it weird? Did you find it, you know, just, I know it's been a couple of years since you went through this process, but just your introduction into it, I guess.
Yeah, I have to say, when I open the box, it's very, what I like is that it's structured, but it's not stiflingly structured, but there's a plan along with it, which I like that, because obviously when you're done with it, you can kind of bounce around and listen to the ones that help you the most, which is what I do now. I reference it. But, you know, I like that it had a semblance of structure. The hypnosis, I have to admit, when I first listened to it, I was like, this is hypnosis? You know? I didn't get that. But after a while, I did find that I would, you know, shut the lights off, put my headphones on, and just, you know, let everyone know, hey, leave me alone for, you know, however long it is. And I would just kind of lay there and breathe deeply and just kind of listen to your words. And then the coaching, I think, definitely helped, because it kind of felt like, even though I had, you know, the structure around me, you know, the people that were around me rooting for me to succeed in this, it felt like, you know, I kind of had a little coach in the back of my head going, you can do it, you can do it. Mm-hmm. She just so happened to have your voice, but at least it was in there. So I did, I found that and the hypnosis helpful. And I don't know if it's the hypnosis that did it, but whenever I would look at, I keep going back to, whenever I talk to you, I keep going back to that one where it's the conveyor belt and there's
the one that Amy's talking about. Yeah. Oh, go ahead and finish your sentence and then I'll talk about it.
Okay. That particular one is my favorite one because, as you know, my Achilles heel is like cookies and chips and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And by thinking about that and thinking about the vivid image I came up with in my head for that pit, it just was like, yeah, I really don't want
that.
So
isn't that amazing?
Definitely helped.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny because what Amy is talking about is an aversion therapy that is very visceral that we use in the Shift in the Box. Is a very specific one, and it talks about taking all your junky favorite foods and visualizing them in a very not so nice area. And a lot of people have mentioned they really found that one had a lot of impact. And I know for myself, as a hypnotherapist, I really enjoy doing aversion therapy because it keeps me, you know, it keeps me out of that stuff too. Absolutely, the sugary stuff, and you repeat those things enough, and you use enough aversion therapy, you listen to it enough, you say it enough. It really does have a deep, deep impact. It's amazing how our mind, when we focus it, because it's all about focus. And you were saying, you know, hypnosis, this is hypnosis. And hypnosis is really just about relaxing and focusing the mind. And you might think, well, what's so special about that? But when you think about how big our unconscious mind is and how impressionable we are, and yet we wake up and, I see this in day after day with client after client, we wake up into defensive living versus offensive living. We wake up and we you know, are running to our jobs. We're you know, running through the day. We aren't really putting those thoughts in our mind of how am I going to take care of myself today? How am I going to eat healthfully today? Until it's almost too late. Until we're hungry or we're starving, and then so hypnosis really helps us, one, take that pause to make those things that are important to us and to our health top of mind, but it also reaches us in a much deeper place than just us consciously thinking, oh, I've got to be good today. So it is interesting, Amy. I remember the first time I did hypnosis, I was like, what's this? This is I didn't even think I was hypnotized. But then, interestingly enough, I started, and I stopped smoking doing hypnosis and or using hypnosis, and I was amazed at, you know, I was like, well, I don't even think I got hypnotized, but I didn't want a cigarette, and I felt free. So that's really interesting. Now, why don't you, I haven't said anything about how much weight you've released. Maybe you can tell us about your weight release journey a little bit, because now I'd like to talk and use this time, the rest of the time that we have, to really put some information out there for people who might be where you were at the beginning of your process. You know, what worked for you? What helped you? Because Amy, one thing that I really love about you is you really created a way of living for yourself, and you carved that out, and you did it. And so maybe we can just start with the broad strokes of what, how much weight you've released, and then we can start going back and looking at how you've set your life up for success, the success that you've achieved.
Sure. I have released to date 160 pounds.
Wow.
So,
amazing. That is amazing. That is just so truly amazing when you think about that. And that's
yeah.
Great.
Yeah. The one of my coworkers, she weighs about 120 pounds. So it's kind of surreal to kind of be like,
yeah,
I lost more
person.
Than you weigh.
Yeah. Yes, that is amazing. And it's amazing, I want to say this because I know most people don't know this about you, but that when you first started the shift weight mastery process, you live in Connecticut, and you went through Hurricane Sandy, and that was like in the beginning of your shift, right? And you lost your electricity, you lost power, you lost a lot of the food that was in your house, and you continued, like, a lot of people would probably use that as a, oh, well, you know, I'll stop this diet, and I'll just, you know, when things are okay again, I'll go back to it. But you didn't. You just kept going. How did you do that? That was amazing to me.
I did that because for one main reason, I like the feeling I got when I stepped on the scale and I saw it say less than I was the last week. I got pretty much very, very much, for lack of a better term, addicted to the fact that I was getting, you know, pound by pound healthier. And
right.
I was watching my, you know, stomach and all the other areas that women wonderfully get affected by go down.
Right.
A lot. And the driving force behind me getting through that was, you know, I'm not going to let Mother Nature or anyone step in my path, because this is pretty much life or death here, you know, and it wasn't really an option for me. So, you know, I didn't have electricity or anything like that. I did the best I could with, you know, I went to Subway, not that that's eating fresh, but they say it is.
I got,
you know, some salads and things like that, but I watched what I ate, and I kind of eyeballed it, and I did pretty good for the time I didn't have a scale or anything.
Right. No, that's extraordinary. And it's been, you've lost 160 pounds over 2 years, about a little less than 2 years. How long has it been?
Yeah, I would say I really started doing this, I think we started this in August or September.
Yeah,
so yeah,
I want
to
say it was August,
it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just pretty close to 2 years.
Right. And how did you, so you started the process, how did you set yourself up for success? Like, how did you coach yourself? I know one of the earlier conversations we had was that you really found that inner voice and allowed that part of you to come to the forefront.
I would say I got all the preliminary stuff done in my mind, and I just set everything else that was blocking me aside, and I set up my own little system of, you know, foods I can eat. And before I started this, and this may sound silly being on, you know, all the other diets that I was on, not to say that this is in fact a diet because I don't feel it is. You know, I was never really calorically in tune to what exactly I was putting into my body, and to get the most bang for my caloric buck was a way that actually helped me see, you know, what nutrients I should be getting into my system and how the calories affected the weight loss, weight gain.
Mm-hmm.
So it was that whole setting up that system and finding out what worked for me. And, you know, like you said in one of the videos that, you know, sure, you can eat like a Twinkie or something for like 200 calories, but you could, you know, have this many other things for the 200 calories you're going to eat the Twinkie. You know,
right.
And nutrient-wise, there's no nutritious value in a Twinkie. So,
right.
You know, it's a no-brainer at that point. But it was just setting up kind of like, you know, getting out all the tips and all that and not going to, I avoided like the plague every fast food restaurant. I cut out soda completely, which for somebody who had been drinking soda, when did I start? 2 years ago, for almost 15 years straight, I cut out soda.
Wow.
And that was a huge thing for me. But it just basically it's just getting my mindset. And by using the hypnosis and the coaching, I found that it was easier for me to kind of set up, you know, my own system to keep myself on track. I definitely used a lot of your coaching and the people around me. And some people, you know, would laugh at the my other notion of I definitely use my face to lean on as well, but
no, I think that's great.
Yeah, that's pretty much. I mean, once you put it in your mind, at least for me, I found that along with the shift and my own willpower on the inside and the support system, it pretty much just all came into play. I mean, I saw for myself how this was affecting me, not only by losing the weight, but bringing my inner person out, my inner coach. Whereas
mm-hmm.
I don't know where she was for the first 15 years of her life, but I'm glad she came out.
Yeah, you've got a fabulous inner coach. What do you feel like have been the biggest changes for you in releasing weight? Like, you know, if you wanted to share, you know, is it clothes? Is it how you feel, energy levels? What are the biggest changes for you, the best benefits that you've gotten from releasing 160 pounds off your body?
Well, as I told you a while ago, I actually went on a plane for the first time in my life about 2 years ago. So not 2 years ago, a year ago. Yeah, a year
right.
ago.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I had never been on a plane before due to the fear of not being able to fit into the seat. There was that. There's the fact that most people take this one particular point for granted, but to actually go into a store and to try on clothes and to buy them in the store and bring them home.
Wow.
It was an event that literally when I did that for the first time, I cried because before that, I had to order all my clothes online from like a men's big and tall place because I could not find clothes that fit me in stores. So there was
right.
that. Another thing was I would rarely, if at all, go out ever. And my friends will tell you now, not only do I go out, but I drag them all out with me. So
I love it. So you've become a lot more social and outgoing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And what do you feel like have been the biggest challenges for you?
The biggest challenges I would have to say is for me, it's like big social gatherings or like a holiday event,
mm-hmm.
I would say would be the challenges for me because I'm, you know, I know a lot of my friends are Italian and you know how they like to put a giant spread out of everything under the sun. So it's like you go there and you look at all that and you're like, oh my gosh, I want everything here. But that I would say has a lot to do with your own inner coach and your self-control. But one thing that you said that has stuck in the back of my mind and that I keep going back to is to, you know, don't be down on yourself because before I would be my own worst enemy. So now it's like I go to a party if I have, you know, what I shouldn't be eating, to my standards, I shouldn't be eating.
Right.
If I have that, I don't beat myself up about it. I accept and acknowledge the fact that I did have that cookie or that piece of cake.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, I know that, all right, maybe I don't have that snack later on. because I had the cookie yesterday. Or maybe I do an extra 15 minutes of yoga to balance out that cookie.
Right. Yeah.
But that has helped me a lot. And another key thing you said to me that has helped me a lot, and I tell everyone who is on their own weight loss journey, just weigh yourself once a week and take the data and get off the scale. Because if I noticed, I'm going to be honest, I didn't listen to you at first, and I weighed myself every day, and I gave myself agita every day. Because it was like, why is it up? Why is it down? Why is it up? So now I do every Friday in the morning, and that's what I do. So that has been a huge help, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are people who weigh themselves every day. I mean, you know, I just go off of research. I look at what works best for the people who have had long-term success. And the jury's out. You know, I think there are people who do better one day a week, and I think most people do that. And weighing yourself every day, if you're okay with the scale and don't allow it to, you know, drive you crazy, I think that's fine too. But I think weighing yourself on the Friday morning, yeah, that's perfect. Just because Friday morning you're probably going to be the lightest from the week, and it is before the weekend and before people typically go out. Speaking of which, I wanted to let people know, you know, how because I think one of the things that I hear a lot, and what is really clearly coming across to me from what you're telling us here, Amy, is that you never gave up, and that stopping or letting it go wasn't an option for you. And I think that desire and that focus served you well. One of the things that you were telling me, we spoke a couple of weeks ago, and you were telling me that I was really struck by, was how structured your life, you created a very structured life for yourself. Now, I'm sure your life is pretty structured because Amy is somebody who works very hard. She works a couple of jobs. And again, I hear a lot of people allowing their own stories, their own excuses get in the way of them moving forward and being healthy. For instance, I don't have the time to exercise. So would you mind sharing us a little bit about the structure of your day and how you've set that up? Because not only do you work two jobs, but you find time to exercise on the days that you choose to exercise. And you also find, can you tell us within this, Amy, how you think about your food? Do you plan your food also? Maybe just tell us a little bit about how you've structured your life more specifically, to get the exercise in, but also you only go shopping one day a week, right? And you plan your food out, and that's been helpful for you, is it?
Oh, yeah. Sure, I have no problem talking about that. I pretty much go shopping once a week, like you said, on Sundays. I go and I get what I'm going to need for the upcoming week. So I like to get all the produce and stuff fresh for the week. So what I basically do, I'll take a typical day, like, for example, tomorrow. What I'm going to do when I get off the phone is I'm going to prepare, you know, my lunch and I pack my whole lunch. I get my vegetables, my fruits and everything cut up. I weigh them on the scale, and then, you know, I put them away in my lunch bag, so I get everything packed up and ready to go for the morning. So when morning comes, you know, I do what I need to do, and then I eat the meals that I prepared and the snacks. And then when I come home, the key thing for me is to not – I know that I was bad before doing this. Mm-hmm. When you work and you come home, the last thing anyone wants to do is be motivated to exercise or move, pretty much. You just want to come home and lay down and watch TV or lay down and go on your iPad. Yeah, that's pretty much what you want to do, and that's understandable. But for me, I just, you know, I keep that little saying in my head, a body in motion stays in motion. So I know as soon as I come home, the ritual is, for lack of a better term, is I come home, I eat my dinner, I pack my lunch for that night, and then, or for that next day, and then I do my yoga, and then, you know, I do whatever I need to do for the rest of that night, and then I go to bed.
Right.
So I just make sure that I get that exercise in, because it's not only does it help you, and I know yoga for me is like its own form of it gives you a kind of a clear mind, which you need to get rid of all the stuff throughout the day. And that's pretty much, you know, my day. Once once I lay down, pretty much I'm done for the day. But I just, you know, the key thing is you gotta get that exercise in before you sit down or lay down for the day, because if you do, you're pretty much done. And that was my excuse for the longest time. You know, I worked a long day. I don't have time to exercise, or I'm too tired. Mm-hmm. I said it myself. So yeah, I just try to, you know, I don't kill myself. I don't, you know, exercise every day. Like you said, I pretty much exercise. I do yoga 3 nights a week. And, you know, and during the day on my lunch break, I'll take a walk around my office building.
Right.
So, you know, I get it in wherever I can, but,
right. Yeah,
you just have to, I found that you just have to, after listening to the coaching and the hypnosis and just seeing the results on that scale and seeing your body transform in front of you and liking the person that you're becoming is a lot more of a motivation than, you know, somebody going there and going, you can do, you know, like seeing what you can do for yourself is mind blowing.
Yes. Yes. It is, you are in charge, and nobody can come into your head and tell you 24/7 what to do. And yet look at how you've set your life up for success. It's really quite extraordinary, isn't it, that you were able to put that all together yourself. You didn't, you know, of course, I'm kind of curious, and I know we've discussed this a couple of times, but I know you do not use an app to record your food. You write your food down in a journal. Is that correct?
Yeah, I write it down in a little notebook.
And how do you, because I think a lot of people would be curious, because you said when you started this process, you didn't have specific calorie acumen, meaning, you know, you were not always on top of how much food you were putting in your body. So when you started journaling, how did you sort of get yourself up to speed on the caloric values of the food that you were eating?
I'm sorry.
No, I was just curious how you pulled, like, if I know what you're eating probably is fairly basic, but like if you went out with your friends and had a dinner or something, how do you find those calories? Because I think a lot of people would like to journal in that way that you're doing, but that they're concerned because they're afraid they are not going to be able to find the caloric values of a lot of foods.
Yeah, I basically, before I started any of this, I didn't really understand, you know, the caloric value to anything. But when I would purchase like foods or something like that, on the back of the package, I would definitely examine as to, you know, the serving size, because a lot of the packaging, you know, if you don't read serving size, you think, oh, this is 80 calories, but it actually has like 3 servings in it, so it's not really 80 calories.
Right.
That's deceiving to a lot of people. And until I started doing this, I just thought, like everyone else, oh, it's only 80 calories.
Right.
There's that. And the food scale was a tremendous eye-opener.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you said in one of your videos, that when you look at an apple, you think it's like, you know, 20 calories. But in essence, when you weigh it, it's like 56 calories.
Right.
And you think that, you know, it's low in calories, but it really isn't. And a banana, I mean, I thought it was like maybe 80 calories, and I've weighed some that were like 157 calories, and that it's just, it's mind-blowing. And when I go out, what I like to do, and it's a little trick that probably a lot of people know, if I go out somewhere, I kind of tend to do my research beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm going to go to a chain store, like maybe Outback or something like that, I'll look at their menu, and typically nowadays they have, like, you know, the healthy menu section,
right.
And I'll research it, and I'll, you know, like, all right, what's this meal? How much is this meal? And then I'll, you know, let's say I order a meal and it says online, or it says wherever, it says it's 500 calories. I know that may or may not be 500 calories, or it might be more. So what I do when I go out is let's say it's a steak, I'll cut the steak in half and I'll eat half the steak. I'll cut the vegetables in half and eat half the vegetables, because at that point, I know without a doubt that has at least got to reach the 500 calories marked on the website.
Right. Okay.
So that's
good.
That's what I do when I go out.
Yeah, that's smart. And I do think that that's probably one of the best, if not the best, strategy for going out, is researching it first. I always feel better too going into a restaurant knowing what's on their menu. I think a lot of people struggle with. I think once you're in the restaurant, you're chatting with your friends, your attention is so dispersed that your ability to sit there and really strategize and think through what you need, and then also the social elements of people pressuring you, oh, come on, we're eating this, so you eat that too. We're a lot more likely to cave into social pressure than if we've already decided, we've made that decision before we've gone into the restaurant. You know what, I'm going to either choose from this section, or I know they've got two fish dishes that I'll choose from, or I'm going to get this dish and I'm going to substitute this in. You know, when we already have that in our head, it just, again, it's all roads lead back to our mind and our thoughts and how to use our mind the most effectively. This isn't about being good. It isn't about being, you know, following the rules or, you know, having to work really hard. It's just when we use our mind optimally in any area of our life, we're going to feel the benefits and we're going to feel more in charge and we're going to feel more confident ultimately. Amy, what are you the most proud of? You know, what of the whole journey, you know, if you have to think about these 2 years, you know, maybe it's an overall feeling of pride or maybe there's something specific you're proud of.
Yeah, I'm definitely proud of a lot of things, but
what you'd like, but yeah, what's your top thing first?
My top thing is being as big as I was. I would make friends pretty much with anyone that would give me the time of day because I didn't think I was worth enough for anyone else to talk to me. So I would go above and beyond for people, and I would essentially be everyone's doormat.
Right.
Whereas now, fast forward 2 years later from that, I know my worth. I know that I'm a really good person. I'm not, like, you know, smug about it or anything like that.
Right.
But I pretty much, I don't let people walk on me anymore. I have confidence backing me up, and I didn't have that before. I know that I'm a good person with a head on their shoulders. And another thing that I'm proud of is when I'll share the story with you and the listeners is when my mom has watched me struggle from I would say this all started way back when I started taking those medications in the fifth grade. So I've been out of school for a while now. And one of the things I'm most proud of is when I stepped on the scale and I hit my goal weight and my mom looked at me and she cried.
Oh.
That is one of the things I am most proud of because
we
both have been just, you know, praying day and night, like just something somewhere come along. And then here you come with the shift and all that. And it's just, you know, it just gave me such a boost in the right direction. And she is still very proud of me. She absolutely loves you. Hasn't met you, but she loves you. She said, if she ever comes out here, tell her I'm giving her a big hug. And she's a talent.
I know. I can't wait to come back to you so I can meet you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the main things I'm proud of. And I have a couple of brothers, and there's one in particular that he doesn't say much. And when he does, older brothers tend to be a little, you know, harder on their little sisters.
Uh-huh.
One of the most proudest moments I've had during this is when I told my brother that I hit my goal weight, he looked at me and he said, I'm so very proud of you. I love you, and I knew you could do it. And just to hear him say that to me, which he's a man of few words, so it was a very proud moment.
Yes, that is so wonderful. Well, I mean, you know, it is, I think what is so powerful too is when somebody, you know, goes on a journey like you've been on, and you see, you watch them become more of who they are, and you see them being challenged, and you see them triumphing, it moves you, and it makes you want to be a better person, and it makes you feel like, wow, they can do it, I can do it too. So even though maybe there's people in your life who don't need to release weight, and absolutely probably, you know, they didn't need to go on the journey like you've gone on, I am sure that your weight release journey has impacted the hearts and spirits of so many people around you for the better. I mean, we become leaders because when we start leading ourselves in this powerful way, we become leaders. And you definitely have come out of this this weight release process, not just with weighing less and feeling proud of yourself, but definitely, Amy, you have a powerful leader in you, and I'm really excited about that, just for the good that that's going to bring to the world. And so you're a very powerful spirit, and so I'm really so excited about all that is ahead of you. And before we got on the line to record, I was talking to Amy about maintaining, and she's been maintaining for a bit. But the maintenance journey, I think, is also a very incredible journey, and you get to learn even more about yourself, which is really exciting. So I'm very excited for you with all of that ahead. Is there any last piece of advice that you would want to give somebody starting out on their own journey? Any last thoughts about what you would say to somebody just starting out today?
Yeah, I would tell them that pretty much if you're listening to this and you're deciding whether or not you want to go through with this or put yourself through it, you have absolutely nothing to lose except for weight. So, you know, just go for it. You shouldn't hold yourself back, because I was one of those people that was, you know, I tried everything and just right. Nothing worked. And this was just like, it was just like pretty much like, I would say it was just like heaven sent, pretty much. It just lined right. up so well. And it helped me focus. And a lot of people don't realize that it is all in your mind. I have a friend who got, you know, the lap band surgery. And, you know, I mean, that's all well and good, even though I wouldn't want a foreign object inside my body. But, you know, they lost weight, but now they're gaining it back. And right. it's because of, you know, your fat thinking versus thin thinking. It's all a mental battle, pretty much. If you can control your focus and your mind, you can do it. You don't need surgery. You don't need any of that stuff. You need to believe in yourself that you can do it. And if I believe in myself at the depressive level that I was, anybody can do this, and anybody right. can lose weight. And I right. want to see everyone lose weight. I don't want to see heavy people anymore, because it's not healthy, it's not cute, and we all need to start helping each other.
Yeah, well, you have certainly begun a new chapter in your journey, which is you've released the weight, and like I said, you're going out there and being a powerful voice for change. So I really appreciate that, and I appreciate your time that you've given us here today. I think what I'd like to highlight from what our talk has been today, just for anybody listening, whether or not you've done the shift or haven't done the shift, but just what I think is at the root of what Amy's success has been is, one, her clear-minded desire to get healthy and to be in charge of her life and to not take her no prisoners attitude with regards to anything that came in the path of her as a distraction was refocused and rechanneled into her desire. And I see that often in people who are able to take the weight off and keep it off, is they really do internally, you know, we call this a shift, but there is a shift that just goes from, I am done being a victim of my life now, it is time for victory. And every victim has their first step forward in their victory march, you know. And so whether it's a shift, whether you do something else, it's you are your own knight in shining armor. And you are the only one that can save you, and you do have that powerful person, just like Amy, within you, who can make that change. So that's one thing that Amy said, which was, I'm done, and I am now moving forward, and nothing is going to get in my way, not Hurricane Sandy, you know, not waking up at 3 in the morning to get up, and, or 4 in the morning. Is it 3 or 4 that you get up and go do your first job in the morning?
It's unfortunately, it's 3.
Okay, oh my gosh. So yeah, getting up at 3 in the morning to go do one job and then going to do the next job. You know, nothing is getting in her way when she made that decision, and then structuring her life. She really created a powerful structure. The human mind works very well with patterns. So creating a pattern that's repeatable over and over again, we are what we repeat. So creating that powerful pattern, and which included exercise on some days and being realistic about how much exercise she's doing and what's doable, and shopping that one day a week, and really keeping self-care at the forefront, continuing to listen to the hypnosis, continuing to listen to the coaching, and really, you know, the hypnosis, what it's going to do is, like I said, it's not magic, but what it does is it gives you a focus and it gives you access to that better, deeper, bigger part of yourself that is just a powerhouse. And hypnosis really does help you harness that energy from within. But then, Amy, you just kept moving forward and weighing yourself one day a week. These were all things that are, you know, underlined skills of weight mastery. So I congratulate you on your mastery. I congratulate you on your journey. Thank you so much for spending your time with us. Is there any last thing you wanted to say? It doesn't have to be long, and then I'm going to just turn off our recording, and then I'll just say goodbye to you separately.
Other than just go for it.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, great. That's great words, and I want to thank everybody for listening. Go keep showing up for yourself. Keep moving forward. Keep that desire burning bright within you. You can do this, and you have a powerful inner coach within you that can take you to where you need to go.